Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Easter evening. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But what is Easter all about? What is Easter really all about? The resurrection is very popular with Christians nowadays. In fact, you'll often hear Christians say, look, Christ died, but he rose. And so Christians ought to concentrate more on the resurrection than on the crucifixion. Does that do Easter justice? The day that Christians celebrate not on just this day, but every Sunday, every Lord's Day. So what is Easter all about? We're going to answer that question this evening on Issues Etc. as we study the great Easter hymn. It's called Joy to the Heart. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Now, you can study this hymn along with us. All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section there on the homepage, and you'll find the words to Joy to the Heart, issuesetc.org. Dr. Arthur Just is a regular guest on the program. He's professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of the Luke Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Always good to be with you.
You know, in a lot of Easter services this morning, Dr. Just, you might get the impression that Jesus rose without dying. A lot of emphasis on the resurrection, very little cross. The hymn that we're going to study tonight has a lot of cross in it, even for an Easter hymn. What's the danger of separating the suffering, death of Jesus Christ from his glorious resurrection?
Well, the danger is not seeing that the redemption of the world was a process that included and necessitated suffering first before the resurrection. And that's one of the reasons why the traditional liturgies of the church and the celebration of Holy Week and those 3 days of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter were always seen as a piece. They were never separated out one day apart from the other. There was the great 3 days there. And the suffering and death of Jesus is at the heart of the Christian faith. Paul said to the Corinthians, I know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he also said to them, you proclaim his death until he comes. And it is the death of Jesus that is at the heart of our faith. Now, the resurrection is as well, so we cannot separate the two, but the death is what brings about the possibility of the resurrection. With no death, then there is no resurrection. And I think one of the ways in which to look at this is that in our own lives, it's much easier for us to identify with the suffering and death because it's all around us. It's what we see. The resurrection is something that we will experience when we die, you know, when the Lord returns in glory. But until that time, we really only see the death, and that is what helps us understand our God. I mean, to understand who our God truly is, we must understand that he is a God who dies for us.
What is this joy, the theme of this Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart? The refrain is even, joy, joy, joy to the heart, all in this good day dawning. What is this joy that Christians have that the world cannot have?
Well, the joy is the joy that God in Christ, through the resurrection of his Son, has restored us back to what he wanted us to be. I think it's very important for us to remember that you know, we are flawed human beings. We've been infected with the virus of sin. We are not what God intended us to be. He created us without sin. And that's why the incarnation, Jesus comes so that we could see what it means to be truly human. And when we see his resurrected body, we see what God intends for us. And in a sense, we'll talk about this later, what in our baptism we already are in Christ. And that's the joy. The joy is the joy of restoration. One of the great chapters of joy, of course, is Luke 15, the prodigal son and the lost coin and the lost sheep. You know, there's more joy in heaven over a sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. Joy is over restoration, and the ultimate restoration is the restoration of all creation through the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Now, before we get to this first stanza, one question on something you just said. While we here dwell under the cross, living in Christ's resurrection and awaiting our resurrection when he returns. That joy is not something that is always, kind of this bubbling over giddiness in the Christian life. There is, in fact, a different quality to this joy, isn't there, Dr. Jast?
Yeah, there is. Like Paul says, there's joy in his sufferings. The joy is not what the world considers joy. It's not this kind of, you know, undetached from reality, giddiness, happiness. There's a contentment, a fullness of understanding who one is in Christ, and a sense of peace that this joy brings. It's a, you know, the way I try to describe it is the joy that you have in a happy marriage, where you are contented in seeing that this is exactly where God wants you to be, where you are contented with the life he has given you, with this wonderful woman or this wonderful man that you have been given by God as your helpmate. And I think that joy, that contentness, comes from knowing that in Christ all things have been made new, that he has restored to his creation what he intended it to be in his Son, and that we are attached to him, and by being attached to him, you know, connected to him, in communion with him, we have everything that his Son accomplished for us through death and resurrection.
These are the words to the first stanza of Joy to the Heart. Look there, the Christ, our brother, comes resplendent from the gallows tree, and what he brings in his hurt hands is life on life for you and me. Joy, joy, joy to the heart, all in this good day's dawning. There is stanza one of Joy to the Heart, the Easter hymn we're studying this evening, this Easter evening, with Dr. Arthur Jast. Dr. Jast, the visual here, hymns seldom do it this well, directing the eyes of faith to Christ, resplendent from the gallows tree, and to his hurt hands and the life that he brings us. Your thoughts on this first stanza?
Well, you know, if you've been following the lectionary in the church, we just read from John chapter 12, where we talk about Jesus, you know, lifted up on the cross, and we want to see Jesus, you know, and the way to see Jesus in what God called Jesus to do, the Father called him to do in order to bring about our redemption, is to look to that tree. And what's wonderful about this hymn is that in this Easter morning, as we celebrate the resurrection, we cannot celebrate the resurrection without looking to the tree. Now, he is our brother. It's a wonderful concept that this is part of a family, and I think it's important for us to recognize that he is our brother because he stands in solidarity with us as well as in substitution for us, and both of those things happen on the cross. And as our brother, he is the one who goes before us in this family, and we are part of that family, the church, the body of Christ. And he comes resplendent from the gallows tree. Gallows tree indicates that it's a criminal's death. It's the horror and shame that is the kind of the height of shame in this world. You know, there he is, naked on the tree, completely, totally filled with our shame and our sin. A criminal's death, to be scorned by everybody. And yet, from that tree now, 3 days later, he comes resplendent. And yet he still bears the wounds. It's not as if the wounds are taken away, because there in his hurt hands that you can see, and in his side and in his feet, you can see what he needed to do in order to bring about our redemption.
Let's pick it up on the other side of the break with that very thought. What does Christ bring in his hurt hands? Well, he shows those hands to his disciples, and he speaks words of peace and forgiveness to them and to you and to me, sinners all. Christ has paid the price, and we see his in his hurt hands, as this hymn says, life on life for you and me. I cannot help but think of Jesus saying, I have come to bring life, and that in abundance. What is that life? We'll answer that question on this Easter evening with Dr. Arthur Just when we come back from this break. We're studying the hymn, Joy to the Heart. Bishop Andrew Elisa of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Sudan on the important work of Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief.
Mr. Harrison came in and supported us to buy an X-ray for the hospital and some of the equipment we needed. And this hospital is now a facility helping a lot of Christians in Northern Sudan. We provide a lot of grinding mill machines. We also provide some blankets, some mosquito nets into congregations so that when returnees are arriving to those destinations, they can be able to make flour now for their food. They can grind their corn. They can grind their grain and make food out of it. And it was a great assistance to us. We gave them some specific seeds to plant, and we expect to have a lot of plantation of seeds and crops in the year 2006 so that hunger doesn't threaten the community in Southern Sudan. So these are the support we are getting from them.
LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do Paul and James disagree on justification by faith? What did James mean when he wrote, faith without works is dead? And if a person lacks works, what's James' solution? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. Journal on the subject of James and faith. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Issues Etc. regular guest Uwe Simonetto has also written an article on the subject of racial segregation in the church, 1-800-737-0172. And the Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Robert Schreckheis's journey from the subjective experience of Pentecostalism to the objective truth of the Reformation, 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A blessed Easter to all of you. We're studying the hymn, Joy to the Heart, a beautiful Easter hymn with Dr. Arthur Just. Dr. Just, before we go back to the hymn and to an important question on that first stanza, coming up this summer is Christ Academy 2005 for high school-aged men there on the campus of your seminary. Why should a congregation consider sending a high school-aged man to this two-week residential program there at Concordia Theological Seminary?
Well, the church desperately needs pastors who are solid in their theology and in their practice. And there's no better time to start than when they're in high school to begin to cultivate in them a sense of what it means to serve the Lord in His church. My one son went to it when it first began, and it was one of the most formative experiences of his life. He had to really struggle with some of the things that he was learning there, but it was a firm foundation for him that has held him in good stead as he has now gone to college and is about to graduate next year. It is an absolutely wonderful opportunity to study the scriptures, to study the Lutheran confessions, and to enjoy the camaraderie of our faculty, our staff, and especially the 40 or 50 other young men who are there who are thinking about the ministry. This is a time to start, and it couldn't be a better experience for a young man in the summer to think about what it means to serve the Lord in His church as a pastor.
Folks, you can find out more about Christ Academy 2006. It's held June the 18th through July the 1st on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Find out about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Theological Seminary toll-free, 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155. Remember Christ Academy 2006. Before we go on to the second stanza of this hymn, Joy to the Heart, a question still about the first stanza, the last line, what he brings in his hurt hands is life on life for you and me. I cannot help but think of Jesus promising life and in abundance, Dr. Just.
Exactly. That's exactly the passage I'm thinking of there, you know, that I might bring them life and bring them abundantly. And the life on life, I mean, it's a wonderful short phrase of indicating that when he is restored to life in the resurrection, that restoration of his dead body that has been crucified and his blood that has been poured out for the sins of the world, that is the restoration of life to the cosmos. And it's like exponential now. From that life now, life is just kind of bounding forth through his church. And that's exactly what's happened since. Anybody now connected to him has life. And that's why we have to talk baptism. When you're baptized, that life becomes your life. You know, it's a life that never ends. It's life in abundance, and it's life because it's connected to the eternal one, Christ, who brings about the possibility for that in his own resurrection. Without his resurrection, there would be no life. And so you can see that the entire cosmos is now brimming with life. It's overflowing because he died and rose again.
That brings us to the words of the second stanza, which I imagine also have in them a reference to baptism, what Christ does through baptism. Good Jesus Christ, inside his pain, looked down Golgotha's stony slope and let the blood flow from his flesh to fill the springs of living hope. Joy, joy, joy to the heart, all in this good day's dawning. Stanza 2 of Joy to the Heart. Dr. Just, walk us through the words of this stanza.
Well, it's interesting how, for an Easter hymn, this is all about the cross. But what it is about is what it is that the cross brings to the world. You know, I've been on your show a number of times, and I think people recognize perhaps from some of the things I've said that the teaching of Jesus in the Gospels is as much about the new creation and he, the creator, coming to his creation to make all things new as it is about anything else. And what makes new, what makes clean, what makes whole, what makes holy is his blood. Now, when I first heard this verse, when I first, you know, studied it, the thing that popped into my mind was that the old movie Ben-Hur. I don't know if people remember that movie very well. They should go and see it this holiday, rent it and watch it. It's one of those movies where you never see Jesus from the front, if you remember. You always see him from behind. And the crucifixion scene is stunning because you see the three crosses there on the rocky, you know, slope. And if you remember the story at all, there's a kind of a cutaway from the cross to a cave where Ben-Hur's mother and sister, who are lepers, are with his fiance huddled in. And what you see in the two scenes is the experience of the earthquake, you know, the darkness, and then a little literary license here, a storm that brings the rain from heaven, you know, and this thunderstorm, and it's frightening, and the women are frightened, and you see this, the water go down the cross, and you can see the blood come down the rock, and it goes into a stream, and it flows by the cave where these three women are, and the two leprous women, his mother and his sister, are all of a sudden cleansed. Now, that's what the blood of Jesus does, and you can see how that director from that cross, from that blood, shows that the stream, the living waters, now is cleansing the whole creation. That's exactly what's going on inside his suffering, his pain. Jesus looks down from that place, and he sees that his blood is cleansing his creation. And what it does, and I love the image of springs of living hope. Springs gives you the sense of this is just kind of watering the whole creation, but it's giving hope. And hope is what we need. I mean, that's the one thing that I try to do with folks who are deeply depressed. They've got to have hope, and the only hope there is in Christ. And that hope only comes from being grounded and connected and communing in his death and resurrection. And it's all about his blood. So the hope that we have, there's the Easter message in this verse. The hope we have, the Easter hope, is in his blood.
All right, when we come back from this break, it says, let his blood flow from his flesh. This is not a murder, and Jesus is not having his life taken from him. He is giving his life for us and to us. We'll talk about that. Now, next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Sunday School. Deaconess Pam Nielsen. I think Dr. Just is familiar with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She's going to be our guest as we talk about how Sunday School, the curriculum, has been influenced by moralism and pietism and romanticism. We'll talk about all that next week on Issues Etc. Pam Nielsen will be our guest. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing in the weeks ahead, click the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to find out about an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul. I'm talking about LCMS World Relief. To find out more about their efforts worldwide, just look for their logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate to LCMS World Relief by calling them toll-free. Here's their number, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, a Christ-centered, cross-focused relief agency, LCMS World Relief. We're talking about the Easter hymn tonight on Issues Etc. Joy to the Heart. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. He's professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Luke Commentary in the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. When we come back, another question on stanza two, and then on to the third stanza of this hymn, Joy to the Heart. We'll be talking about Christ's cross and his resurrection on this Easter evening, the two that can never be separated. He remains for us, Christ crucified. Even as he lives, he is Christ crucified for us. There is nothing like the relationship between a mother and her child. Nothing. And that relationship is only surpassed by the relationship between our Heavenly Father and his children in Jesus Christ. These two themes, our earthly mothers and our Heavenly Father, are brought together in a beautifully illustrated children's book. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for April. It's called Mommy Promises by Issues Etc. regular guest Julie Stiegelmeyer. Mommy Promises is available from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy and find the book at our website, issuesetc.org. Mommy Promises is right there on the homepage, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for April. Mommy Promises by Issues Etc. regular guest Julie Stiegelmeyer. 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are three levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. And the reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today by making a gift payable to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
We give thanks for the folks at LCMS World Relief, because they are the hands and the feet that allow many people to reach out in charity and love to those who are less fortunate than we.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Just on the importance of LCMS World Relief.
In the Gospels, Jesus says that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And spending out his life for us on the cross is how he served us. Because Christ is in us, and we embody him in his mercy and love, we are to manifest that in our lives, and LCMS World Relief does exactly that by reaching out with concrete expressions of Christ's love, mercy, and compassion to those who have been broken by storm and tempest, who, for whatever reason, need the kind of love and compassion that is in us because Christ is in us.
For more information or to donate to LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, we're talking about this event, the one event, Christ's death and resurrection that procured our salvation. Scripture compares the love that God has for us in Jesus Christ with the love of a mother. It says a mother could forget her suckling child, but God says in Isaiah, I cannot. I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Well, he has. Those nail prints show our Father's love for us. The subject of our Issues Etc. book of the month for April is that picture of a mother's love and the Father's love for all his children, our Heavenly Father's love. The book is called Mommy Promises. It's written by Julie Stiegemeyer. You can order Mommy Promises by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The book costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, when you call, request the Issues Etc. book of the month, Mommy Promises, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Just, one more question on stanza 2 of Joy to the Heart. In that third line, it says, and let the blood flow from his flesh to fill the springs of living hope. It seems intentional on the hymn writer's part there to show this as an act of Christ's willing obedience to the Father on our behalf and not simply something that happened to him.
Exactly. I think that's a great point. And I think, you know, when we especially read this in John's Gospel, you know, Jesus does not take the first thing that's offered to him because it would have been a sedative. He needs to feel the entire fullness of the suffering. But then at the end, he does say, I thirst, and they do give him something to drink. There's no sedative in that. There's nothing to dampen the suffering. But he must be completely conscious so that he can give up his life. And that's what this, you know, verse gives, that he himself lets that blood, you know, flow because it is his willing obedience to the Father to do everything the Father has demanded. And in fact, it's his willingness to bear the entire fullness of the sin, death, and the devil for us. And it's let that blood flow from his flesh to fill the springs of living hope. And it's still flowing. I mean, that's the other thing that verse gives, is it just didn't flow once. It continues to flow. And it flows in holy absolution, where people are forgiven their sins. It flows in the waters of holy baptism, where through water and the Word and the Spirit, people are connected to that blood, and it flows in the Lord's Supper, where we continue to receive His body broken in death, His blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So it's a blood that starts to flow at the cross and continues to flow now in the means of grace in the church's life.
Here are the words for stanza 3 of Joy to the Heart. Good Jesus Christ, our brother, died in darkest hurt upon the tree to offer us the worlds of light that live inside the Trinity. Joy, joy, joy to the heart, all in this good day's dawning. Stanza 3 of Joy to the Heart. Dr. Just, this hymn is proving to be just a treasure trove of jewels for the celebration of Easter. One of the brightest here is this line in the last stanza, the worlds of light that live inside the Trinity.
Yeah, isn't that a delightful line? I mean, it has such places for us to go in terms of the fullness. It's not so clear that there's just one meaning. There's just fullness there. We can kind of frolic in the possibilities of that meaning. And of course, I mean, I think John's gospel is the gospel that has really influenced this hymn in many ways, because, you know, of course it's John that talks about Jesus being the light of the world. But, you know, he comes, you know, as the light in the darkness. But it's worlds of light now to offer us the worlds of light that live inside the Trinity. That, again, this is like that life on life. I think it's an echo of that, in the sense that now it's light that just bounds forth from the Trinity, that just conquers the darkness. What you have here is the image, I think, of Christ defeating Satan, because Satan is certainly the darkness, and once his light bursts forth from the tomb, the darkness cannot be, cannot reign anymore. It is unbelievable how that light now completely, totally obliterates the possibility of Satan winning, because it's finished. It's over. Satan is defeated. Christ is the victor. And you can see that this is the Trinitarian plan, and that the Trinitarian plan was in Christ to bring to a world that is darkened by sin, light again, worlds of light that just beam forth now from his resurrected flesh.
It seems to anticipate also what Scripture speaks of with the death and resurrection as one piece, and that Christ's glorious ascension to the right hand of the Father, where, if we read the early chapters of Ephesians, Dr. Just, it is very clear that Paul is telling us that we have been given access into the joy that is the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into that perfect love and unity through the very body of Christ given at the tree, raised from the dead, ascended to the Father.
I think that's a great point. It's important for us to recognize that as we began this program, we can never separate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I think we also need to include the ascension there. We must always talk about his death, resurrection, and ascension. And what many people don't realize about the ascension is that when Christ ascends, he takes all of humanity with him, which means that you and I, Todd, right now, and all who are baptized into Christ, who live in Christ, we are already now in heaven with Christ, and that we are there with the angels and the archangels and all the saints. And being in heaven with Christ, we therefore experience the fullness of what the Trinity is and what the Trinity gives. So it is it, to to worship the Lord in his church, to make the sign of the cross upon ourselves at the beginning of the service, you know, that marks us as the baptized, to recognize that we are joined to Christ means that we are also completely, totally joined to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because in Christ we see the Father by the Spirit. And that means that we have everything that the Trinity intended for us in Christ.
Is this hymn also not only death, resurrection, ascension, but also, look there, the Christ our brother comes, the second coming of Christ, what we can anticipate in his glorious return?
Absolutely. And, you know, if we have now the fullness of our salvation because we are joined to Christ, it is still tempered by the fact that we live in the darkness of a world that is still infected by sin. And yet we do know that at some point in the future he will return in glory, and there we will experience the fullness of what he has earned for us. We will experience the light of Christ without any hint of darkness of sin. And that is absolutely at the heart of the Christian hope. That goes back to your second verse. That hope is that someday soon he will come again. And of course, what we speak about with the Christian death is simply, it's not death, it's resurrection into this hope that is now fully ours, where we no longer have the ramifications of sin in our lives, because we are now in Christ.
With only 1 minute before we go to a break, Dr. Just, this theme has come up twice. You mentioned it earlier, Christ our brother. Where is the comfort in... This is how Scripture refers to him at one point. Even Christ refers to us as his brothers.
Well, I think that, you know, the brother, if I have two brothers, and I think in some ways the idea of a brother, that he shares our blood, he shares our, that we share the same father, we have a relationship with him, which I think everybody sees, you know, ideally is the most intimate of relationships there is in this world, the relationship of a family. And as our brother, he knows us. He knows how we feel. He has been tempted as we have, but without sin. And so he can fully and totally identify with us. I talk about it in terms of solidarity. He stands there alongside of us. He knows what we are experiencing because he is one of us. He is our brother.
Well, folks, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Just on the other side of this break and hear the entire hymn, Joy to the Heart. 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to be broadcasting live from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. The topic will be the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Our guest will be Dr. Richard Schuda of Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now, everyone is invited to attend this live broadcast of our Sunday night nationally syndicated issues, etc. I'll also be preaching Sunday morning for the services there at Emmanuel. That's Sunday, April the 30th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. Reformation Tour coming to Detroit and the area later this month, check out our website, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. We're looking forward to being there, and I'm looking forward to meeting you there. When we come back from our break, the conclusion of our conversation this Easter evening on the Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart, I can only imagine, if not in these words, in these sentiments, what the disciples that Easter evening, witnessing Christ coming among them in the flesh alive again after 3 days, must have been singing this very hymn. We'll be right back. Pastor Mark Schaefer, Coordinator of Continuing Education and Related Events at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the importance of equipping the priesthood of all believers.
It's so important that, you know, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people. And the more that our laypeople understand their role and how they fit in the church, it's good for the church's mission, it's good for the church's service, it's good for the worship life of the church too.
For more information about the spring retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, including one led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. John Seleska, visit their website, ctsfw.edu, or call area code 260-452-2204. 260-452-2204.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths to the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. You know, for most churches, Easter isn't just a Sunday out of the whole church year. It's an entire season of several weeks leading up to the next season, Pentecost. And for any size gift to Issues, etc., during this season of Easter, we're going to send you a CD of tonight's interview with Dr. Just on the Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart. You could celebrate the whole season long. Now, for a donation of $50 to Issues, etc., from now until the end of May, we'll send you a CD with several Easter hymns sung by the Cantorai of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For a gift to Issues, etc., of $100 or more during this next 6 weeks, we'll send you an autographed copy of Dr. Paul Meyer's book, In the Fullness of Time, A Historian Looks at Christmas, Easter, and the Early Church. Now, you can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or you can donate by check. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Now, please prayerfully support Issues Etc. with a contribution to help us extend the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. during the Easter season. Let's hear the entire hymn, Joy to the Heart, our study tonight with Dr. Arthur Jess. Thank you. Way to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Dr. Just, your final thoughts on this Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart, what it, the message of Christ's resurrection, his crucifixion and his resurrection, that it brings to us.
As I said in the opening article for the Lutheran Witness this April about Easter, it is something that we celebrate as Christians every day by remembering our baptism. Early Christians placed the Easter event at the heart of their understanding of what it means to be baptized. And I think as we celebrate Easter today, we must recognize that every day for Christians, because they are baptized, is Easter. The resurrected one lives in us, and we are the ones who bear witness to his resurrection because we have been joined to him. And because we have been joined to him, we know that he lives in us and we live in him. And that means it's also a life of suffering, because part of that is that we are joined to his suffering. So the way in which we understand our sufferings is through our relationship to him in death and resurrection. He is the risen one, and so are we. And he is the way in which we celebrate this Easter, the reality of the new world in which we live.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Luke Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. Dr. Just, it is always a pleasure. A blessed Easter to you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful Easter season. 50 days.
Well, Paul says it's our only hope. That's it. He says the entirety of the Christian faith, everything that Christians believe, from top to bottom, can all fall to pieces with one fell swoop and be falsified if Christ is not raised from the dead. It's not just an apologetic point that Paul is making there. He's making a point about what is the linchpin of our hope. Where does it all hang? Upon what does our hope as Christians, that hope that is unique to the Christian faith, our joy, our assurance, our certainty, our very salvation, upon what, really upon whom, does it depend? Well, Paul is quite clear there. Christ is not raised, our hope is empty, and we are not to be hopeful but pitied. But Christ has been raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And Paul goes on to assure us that Christ has been raised indeed from the dead. It is God's acceptance of the sacrifice he made for us at the cross. It is the most certain, the only certain thing upon which the Christian pins his or her hope. And it is not a hope that disappoints. He says that if Christ has been raised, then so will we. When Christ returns, the resurrection that began with the head, Jesus himself, coming bodily out of the tomb alive after 3 days, will continue. And he will call you, and he will call me, all of us redeemed sinners washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his death on the cross, out of our graves as he came out of his grave, and he will give to us, as he has given us life and salvation by faith in him now, he will give it to us in the body. We will be raised and we will see him as he is. That is Easter joy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.